is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Bill Raggio, my colleague and co-host, Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. He keeps the Long War Journal. Filing routinely on the Long War Journalist Ahmed Sharawi, watching especially the darkness visible that was Syria once upon a time. Now, the question mark. Ahmed, a very good evening to you. Thank you for joining us. We immediately go to your report about the Druze, who the last time we spoke had suffered horrible losses by the attack of unknown aggressors, sometimes associated with the government in Damascus, sometimes not. And the response now, you're reporting, is that the Druze have formed militias in Soweda province. Remind everybody where Soweda is and what militias. Are they armed? Who's arming them? Have they got backup? Are they planning on Fortress Soweda? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Just to start off, ever since Ahmed al-Shara took over control in Damascus back in December 2024, and predominantly Druze province of Soweda has been outside of government control under the command. And of course, the events of last July further eroded the trust between the government in Damascus and the Druze community in southern Syria. And so the spiritual leadership in Soweda decided to consolidate power and form their own national guard to provide security and to defend themselves from any attacks in the future. And so they consolidated control over a number of militias that I profiled in my latest Long War Journal article. These militias have been operating in Soweda since the early days of the civil war. Some of them were founded in 2012-2013. They've been armed. Their numbers, of course, are not that big. I think the total number of the whole National Guard is around 15,000. But it's given that they understand the region and they're essentially defending their area, they can be very ferocious when they're combating any other militias that or any government forces that will be operating in the area in the future. So this is an interesting development because, again, during the events in July, we saw a number of militias operating against the government. But this is a move towards power consolidation and a complete detachment from Damascus.
A detail. How are they armed?
So there's unconfirmed reports that some of these arms came from Israel. Of course, nothing's verified. We know that Israel has been supporting the Druze in their messaging as well as their military action. Israel has struck the Ministry of Defense in Damascus in July as a response to the government advancing into Soweda. But again, as I stated, a lot of these militias have acquired weapons either through looting the Syrian Arab armies or the Assad era's Syrian Arab army barracks following the fall of the Assad regime in December, as well as through other forms of weapon smuggling from Jordan or from other areas in the region. So there aren't any verified reports on who's arming them, but they've managed to hold weapons ever since the start of the civil war back in 2011.
Bill, you have a question for Ahmed.
Ahmed, you've noted in the past that not all the Druze are on board with the opposing the new Syrian regime. Have all of the Druze groups created this militia council or this National Guard, or is this just the groups that oppose former al-Qaeda leader Ahmed al-Shara's new government?
So I've always pointed out that the Druze are divided and that their spiritual leadership, there's three spiritual leaders. Two of them were open to integration with Damascus and one of them was against. This person who's against, his name is Hikmat al-Hijri, has consolidated power over Soweda. He's now the spiritual leader, and this National Guard is under his control. So most of these factions were not aligned with the government. Actually, before July, some of them were aligned and were willing to cooperate with Ahmad Shara's government. But after they saw the massacres that were committed by the by some of the pro-government forces, they decided to side with Hikmat al-Hijri and the broader or the Druze spiritual leadership. And so this National Guard is mainly composed of anti-government factions. However, there are two individuals who I also mentioned in the report, named Layth al-Balaous and Sulaiman Abdelbaqi. They also have their factions, but they have limited manpower. They're not as significant as the other factions that have been incorporated. So I can safely say that the majority of these factions that are operating in this National Guard are anti-government.
Ahmed, I want to go back to the events of July. The Druze, how do they explain that massacre? Who did it? Who organized it? Who gained from it? What do they say? What do the Druze say?
So what they say is that the government forces, initially it was clashes between Sunni Arab Bedouins who are in the area and Druze. And they claim that the government took advantage of these clashes in order to intervene on behalf of the Bedouins and commit massacres. Now, the government claims that they intervened in order to restore order and security in the region or in the area. At the same time, of course, there's an abundance of evidence showcasing government forces committing massacres and extrajudicial killings. The government has said that it will hold these people accountable. They've released pictures of those who they arrested. But at the same time, like, I don't see any genuine approach towards holding these people accountable. But the situation has been very, very tense in the past month. Against Suwayda remains, Suwayda city remains outside of the government's control, but the surrounding area has been controlled by the government. And there's been calls for independence and separation explicitly by most of the Druze community in Suwayda.
You named in an article at Long War Journal names of lieutenants of al-Shara. Have they responded in any fashion to the claims that they were part of the massacre? Have they said anything?
So the Minister of Defense had previously, or a week after the events, has said that they will hold those who committed massacres accountable. They did acknowledge that there were massacres happening and that there were pro-government forces that were operating in that area that committed massacres. But again, as I stated, there hasn't been a genuine move towards holding these people accountable.
Is there an investigation by anyone, anywhere?
So the claim is, so there's an investigation from the Ministry of Justice into what happened. The Druze, of course, have refused to give the Ministry of Justice the opportunity to investigate these crimes. They've called for an international tribunal or some sort of international investigation to find out what happened.
Bill, you have a question.
Yeah. You noted that Sunni Arab tribes were mobilizing in August to battle the Druze. What has caused them to stand down? Has there been any violence since that mobilization?
So the Sunni Arab Bedouins mobilized right after the government withdrew from Suwayda. Because there were some I wouldn't call them atrocities, but there were some abuses being committed against the Bedouin community in Suwayda. What led them to stop was a fragile ceasefire that was agreed upon between the Syrian government, Israel, and the United States. They still have a very small presence in Suwayda. We've seen smaller clashes over the past 2 weeks or 3 weeks. But nothing to the scale of what happened in July. It appears that the government managed to convince them to halt their attack or halt their advance into Suwayda, fearing Israeli retaliation, of course.
We're speaking with Ahmed Sharari of the Foundation for Defense of Democracies. Bill Raggio, also from FTD, the Long War Journal, where to find this reporting. We turn to diplomacy. Al-Shara, the self-named president of Syria, is due in New York later this month to speak to the United Nations. What do we know about his plans? This is CBSi on the World. I'm John Batchelor.